It is time to recap meeting number one for the month of February, the McCook City Council from last night in our studio. City Manager Nate Schneider. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are you doing, Rich?
Doing terrific. Doing good. Councilman Jerry Calvin's in the house. How are you, man?
Good. Really good.
You know, I thought of you the other day because I've got a few Vikings fans around here. You know, my broadcast partner, Bob Golke, is a big Vikings guy. And he brought it up. They fired their general manager, so he was on a cloud nine.
Oh, yeah.
Are you good with that?
Oh, I'm very good.
Get him out of there.
Yep. We need better leadership. Yep, I agree with Bob all the way.
I thought of you when that happened. You betcha. You betcha. All right, guys. Let's get to the agenda once again from last night. Anything, announcements and recognitions?
Well, Chief Harpum, Fire Chief Harpum, told us about their annual awards banquet they had. And he said when you total up all the years of experience from Mark being the longest tenured person to the newest guy, we've got a total of 294 years of firefighting experience on our department.
Harpum's half of that.
Yeah, easily. He's got to be easily half of that.
Yeah, but is there a better man to lead that group? No way. No way at all. Yeah.
Yep, he's got a great way with the public and a great way with staff. We're just very fortunate to have Mark.
No question about it. I bet that was a good, nice little night for them, wasn't it?
Yeah, they recognized a few of the members. The newcomer of the year was Matthew Nelson, and I didn't have time to write down how long he's been with
them. 7 months.
I gotta say, it's been under a year. I remember that much. EMT of the year was Don Lonigan?
Lonigan, yep.
I knew I was going to screw up that name. I apologize. Yep. Firefighter of the year was Kyle Newcomb. The Raleigh Haas Leadership Award, God rest Raleigh Haas, what an amazing man he was. Holy cow. The winner of that award was Derek Sailors, another fine young man who justly deserved that award. And the Ray Real Firefighter Award, and God, I remember Ray. He was a good man, too. It was Greg Polnow. And I think if Mark has half of that total, 294. I think Greg would have a quarter of that. Greg's been around a long time.
They both have been there for a while. Probably about the same time. I bet they probably started right around the same time working with the city.
Greg's been a great volunteer for the people of McCook. So he just wanted to point those folks out. Justly deserved.
Yeah, and it's so important for us to have a good assortment of volunteers. We're fortunate we've got a full-time staff, but it gets very difficult at times to try to manage the numbers. And so you have to have those volunteers to help, especially in situations where it calls on, greater numbers. And so very fortunate to have a good group of volunteers. And if anybody's ever interested in serving as a volunteer, contact Chief Harpum, and I know that he'd be more than happy to talk with you and get you going. We need our next generation to step up and be our leaders.
So yes, we do.
We appreciate everything that our volunteers do.
You betcha. You bet. Anything else? Announcements? Recognitions?
Not really. No.
Yeah, we just have a couple meetings. We got a planning commission meeting coming up next Monday. It's going to be kind of an interesting one. Miller and Associates, they're going to unveil the comprehensive plan, which will be really kind of neat. we've been working on that for probably about 2 years now, year and a half. I can't even remember. But it's ready to be shared with the public, and so we'll talk about the comprehensive plan. That'll serve as our guidepost for the next 10 years. And then also we're going to have a tree board meeting on February 12th at noon. That'll be over at the Senior Center, open to the public.
Yeah, with this 65-degree weather, we need to be thinking about trees for crying. We're done with winter.
It's
long gone. We need to think about planting trees now.
Yeah, it's crazy how fast things move on. You go from negative 15 wind chill to everybody thinking they can take their coats off now. So
I still think come springtime.
Yeah.
My favorite time of the year, track and field. I love my track and field meets. A lot of them are going to get postponed or moved because of crappy weather.
That's, tennis in March. Oh, my gosh. It's brutal at times. Yeah. So
you know about that.
You're playing in the snow and all that good stuff. Same thing with track. Same thing with golf. Yeah. So you just have to kind of expect it when you live in Nebraska.
Yeah, we were sitting with a sports mom 1 year watching his track meet, and she allowed us how she was always colder at track meets than she was at football games. And that
true
is
story.
True. It is true.
Yeah.
It is
go true. To football games in T-shirt, no big deal. But you go to track, you better bundle up because you're going to freeze.
Yeah,
exactly right. public hearings. You had some public hearings to deal with as well.
Yeah, the first one that we had last night, or the first set of hearings that we had last night, we had a request from Crossland. They're the contractor that's helping out with the Wagner auto build out just to the south of here, actually. Mm-hmm. They had some concerns as far as the sign ordinance requirements. We've got a sign ordinance that allows for signs to be 20 feet in height, and then also no larger than 80 square feet in space. And so they had asked the Planning Commission and Council to increase the height requirements, because there are some signs that were going to be a little bit under 32 feet, and then also some signs that would be about 130 square feet. And the funny thing was, you know, Barry and Leanne and Tara and I, we were in the process of working through our supplemental districts and our zoning regulations. As we do our comprehensive plan, we're also updating our zoning regulations. And that was exactly the number as far as the height that we were looking at, was 32 feet. And if you go up and down the highway, you'll probably see some signs that are actually exceeding 20 feet already. It predates us here at the city that's currently on staff. But around other communities, if you look at signs, most of them are over 20 feet in height along the highway. We wanted to make sure that these requirements stayed just with the highway commercial zones. I didn't want to make them specific to any other zone, because we'd have to really stop and think about that. Yesterday, the Planning Commission actually had a special meeting to hear the request, and they recommended approval of the new requirements. They had some other thoughts too. And basically what we had told them was, we're going to continue to work through the sign regulations. We haven't even taken that to the Planning Commission yet. But there are some questions as far as number of freestanding signs on lots that should be allowable. What constitutes a business, and can a business have, because right now it currently says a business is allowed to have two freestanding signs, which if you had, a lot that had three or four businesses there, you could have six to eight signs, which I don't think that was probably the intent of the law when it was passed in 2013. And so it kind of opened up additional questions that we need to work through. And like I said, we're working through the sign regulations right now. We also wanted to make sure that we were very specific about off-site signs, so that way you can't put a sign for, you know, KICX over on the east side of town, you know, as you're coming into McCook, just because we want to try to keep everything free from clutter and whatnot. I always think, you know, if someone was wanting to go ahead and advertise those lots over on the east side of town, you know, when you're coming in on Highway 6 and 34, you know, that would be an attractive place, I would think, for a business maybe to put a sign. But you don't want to have those kind of signs. Billboards outside of the city limits, that makes sense. But when you start putting off-site premises signs on other properties that aren't related to the actual business itself, it could get cluttered really fast. And so a lot of questions that we had at the Planning Commission yesterday, a lot of great questions. I appreciate our Planning Commission. First and foremost, they were willing to go ahead and meet on a Monday afternoon. And we had, I think, probably 8 out of the 10 people there. So our guys and gals on the Planning Commission, they do a great job of making our meetings. And then also they just do a fantastic job of thinking outside of the box and bringing up things that I don't even think about sometimes. And so it's appreciated. The council approved the request to change the height from 20 to 32 feet and the square footage from 80 to 140 feet, but that's only going to be for the highway commercial district for right now. And then we'll continue to work through the sign ordinances as we work through the zoning regulations. So
that took care of that one last night.
Yep.
And then you came back with Economic Development Plan Citizens Advisory Review Committee?
Yeah, Charlie McPherson and Sean Wolf from Community Hospital. They're, of course, Charlie's executive director, and mm-hmm. Sean does a whiz-bang job on the board. They gave us a quarterly report, as required by the contract the city has with the EDC to manage the economic development for us. And everything's up to snuff. Everything's moving right along. Our account balances are looking good. We have money available for the things we need to do, specifically North Point is one of them.
Yeah, we've got $272,000 that have not it's been approved but not completed at this point in time, but that would be for the next phase of the North Point project, which would be phase three. There's going to be, I think it was seven houses on the south side of T Street, four houses on the north side, and then also a house on the west side of 9th Street that, you know, need to have streets, water, sewer, storm sewer, you know, all that stuff. It needs to be completed. So they'll use LB 840 funds, that $272,000, with the plan of having the lots build out. And Charlie did a nice job yesterday of talking about how things have progressed along S Street, how we have five houses that have been built, how we're in the process of building another five houses out. Every time you build out a house, you increase the valuation of the lot. And so the difference between the original valuation of the lot and then what that value is after the buildings are built, these are all redevelopment plan / redevelopment contract back TIF projects. So those funds will come back to pay back into the LB 840 fund, so that way we replenish those funds. But in the process, you get street, water, sewer, and storm sewer built out. And so that's been a priority of the LB 840 funds, and Charlie really did a good job of going through the North Point development project. We also have $20,000 that's been earmarked for the Early Childhood MEDC Infant Incentive Program. Their annual payment to the YMCA in the amount of $20,000 per year, up to $100,000 over 5 years for early childhood education purposes, which fits within the LB 840 plan. That's earmarked. And then also we have a strong push to move forward with the McCook Business Park Industrial Park expansion. There's $90,000 that's actually going to be earmarked for that. I know Charlie's been trying to work through a BNSF project or program, and it hasn't moved. We've applied for 2 years in a row, and we haven't heard back either of the 2 years. And so Charlie basically said the MEDC's position is they're going to move forward with this project, and in particular trying to stretch out rail so that way all the lots have access to the rail spur that was built out as part of the Performance Plus project. And so there's $90,000 that's earmarked for that. And then also this next quarter, we've got $32,500 that's earmarked for the retail coach. That's the group that's in the process of trying to locate new retail companies. And when they talk about retail companies, you're talking about restaurants, hotels, you know, true retail, you know, like clothing and whatnot, entertainment. Those are the kinds of things that they're going out and trying to find right now. And we're really doing a good job, I think, of working in conjunction with the MEDC and the retail coach as far as trying to find people that are wanting to locate out at the new sports complex. And so it's very fortuitous that we've got this agreement with them. And I think that the retail coach is doing a good job of finding some potential businesses to move to McCook. Aside from that, I think the only thing that's actually been incurred is publishing fees in the amount of $23. So Charlie went through that. He also went through the status review on all the loans, a quick overview of what the Economic Advisory Committee was brought last week, between Sean and Charlie, they do a good job of explaining how everything is moving forward.
EDC, Charlie, Amanda, do a great job, don't they?
Yep. The board does a great job, and the advisory committee does a great job, and the loan committee does a great job. You know, if you look around McCook, I mean, all these projects that we have going on right now, MEDC is a part of it, and LB 840 dollars are a part of it. You know, and I got to give a plug for the taxpayers of McCook and the voters of McCook for their willingness to go ahead and fund the economic development program. It LB 840, you know, really, you know, it's one of the few incentive programs that we have to be able to bring new businesses and to develop our community. We don't have a lot of people knocking down our door saying we want to come into McCook and build out business. And so we've got to get creative. And I really give the EDC a lot of credit. I think their use of LB 840 to upfront the costs on infrastructure, it's really moved a lot of our projects forward, especially when you look at North Point and the Industrial Park. I mean, those two projects don't happen without LB 840 and the aggressive posture that the MEDC has taken. So I give the board and Charlie and Amanda and Billy and Angela before Billy and everybody credit that's been a part of that process, because it's a lot of work. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's gone into this and a lot of things that people don't see. You know, you have to see it with your own two eyes to understand how it works. But needless to say, it's pretty cool when you drive around McCook and you see the progress that's being made.
Consent agenda, anything pulled for discussion?
No, we didn't. We just kind of went through that in as one. We just,
okay.
Boom. We didn't pull anything, just approved it.
Regular agenda, youth sports complex project. You've touched on that a little bit. Anything else?
Really quickly, we did have a great conversation with a couple of individuals yesterday. We're in the process of trying to do an appraisal slash consultation with an appraiser slash consultant out of Kearney. And so we got her into touch with the retail coach. So Kyle Colfer was on that phone call, as well as Charlie and Amanda and Craig Bennett with Miller & Associates, who has been doing a bang-up job. He actually has finished a mock-up of what this could look like with everything built out. What we want to do is we want to get an appraisal done. We want to market these lots out of the Walters subdivision around the sports complex. And as we sell those lots, we want to pay down debt. We've got $5.5 million worth of infrastructure that we have committed to the project. We're going to use the sale of those lots to go ahead and pay down that debt. And then anything that's over that amount, we want to start putting towards the second phase of the sports complex project. And so it's imperative that we move quickly on this. I think that our consultant, her name is Lynn Hayden, she's going to be coming out here to take a look at the facility so she gets a better feel for it here in the near future. And then she'll be working through some plans for us. We've got some things that we need to get over to her. I've done some work as far as trying to find comparable sales along Highway 83 that I need to forward over to her. Over the course of the past 10 years, I just sat down and was looking at GIS probably a year or two ago, just trying to map all the sales that had occurred. And so I'll get that information out to her, and then she can really start to kind of pencil in what she thinks the value of these lots are. So that was a good meeting. And then also we've got Mammoth, our project manager, is coming out on February 10th. It'll be good to see him. February 12th, we're going to have a meeting with Paulsons, Van Kirk, and Miller & Associates to talk about the infrastructure build-out. That's moving fast. We've had some nice weather this winter, and so that's really helped a lot. We had some change orders on the consent agenda. The big one was we have 6 50-amp electrical outlets that we wanted to make sure was included for food trucks and for other amenities. And so that was a $70,000 change order, and then we had like an epoxy alteration to make sure that we were accounting for, you know, colder temperatures. And then also we're going to raise the fence on the left and right field lines on the softball fields to make sure 2027 the NCAA is going to have a new regulation as far as the left and right field lines, the foul lines, how tall the fence has to be. So we wanted to make sure we got ahead of that. So we're going to put up a little taller wall out there to make sure it plays a little bit longer.
Green monster.
Yeah. Green monster. Yep. And pesky pole. Yeah. And then as far as the weather, I mean, I just wanted to tell the council that everything is really moving fast. We've been really fortunate. So I think Mammoth is really making a lot of progress out there. And, you know, the one thing I failed to say yesterday, but I'm going to reiterate, if people want to go out and take a look at it, just give us a call and we'll figure out a way to get them to take a look at it. We've had a lot of people that have had an opportunity to go and review it. And I think it's really impressive when you actually are, I mean, it's impressive from the highway or Q Street, but when you're actually on site and you look at it, it's just, it gives you a better feel for what can happen out there. So just excited with the progress that's going on.
Actually, it wouldn't be a green monster. We got to make it a red monster.
So I agree. Yeah, you know. We'll do a red monster. We ordered the backstops and we went red, mm-hmm. obviously, for the bison. And so, you know, that's going to be pretty cool mm-hmm. to see that up in the field. So
you bet. All right. Good report there. Accepting the financial statements, supplemental information for fiscal year ending September 30th, 2025.
Annual audit. Wow. you know, the book, well, Nate's got the book. It's a pretty thick book, and there's a ton of information, and we kid each other about that's a good way to just sit down at night and go to sleep, just to read the audit. But there's some really fascinating information in there. And for the people of McCook, the taxpayers of McCook, the biggest theme is we're doing extremely well with our accounting practices, managing the money the taxpayers give us. Leanne and the administrative staff just kill it every year. Always get glowing reports from the auditor. Was it AMGL?
Yeah, yeah,
out of Grand Island. And they give us an awesome report. Mm-hmm. They get really get down to the nitty-gritty about this and this and this. And it's a little nerdy and kind of boring, but once you can translate what they're telling you, it is really, really fascinating to see how well Leanne keeps this the city going with what the taxpayers give us. We squeeze every ounce out of every penny mm-hmm. that we get. And God love the administrative staff for that.
Well, I think, you know, and Marcy does a really good job. Marcy Luth is our main auditor. I think that AMGL has provided services for as long as I've been city manager. And I think probably when I was city attorney. So it dates all the way back to 2007. So, and I know a lot of other communities use AMGL as well. It's hard to find auditors nowadays.
Boy, it is.
Yeah, it's tough. But she does a good job of really breaking the audit into a simple form for us to be able to understand a little bit better. And she has 12 criteria that she uses to go ahead and basically explain everything in the audit, you know, the important items in the audit. And my takeaway from the criteria that she put out there is the city of McCook, compared to its, I guess it's array, the other communities that we get compared to, you know, we have different areas of I guess importance that we highlight. So in some areas we probably spend more. I know we spend more per capita. You know, we always kind of talk about some of the obvious ones where we have a full-time fire department. We spend a little bit more. This year the airport's been a priority because our FBO filed for bankruptcy, so we had to use council contingency funds to make sure that we continue the fueling operations and the hangaring operations. Those are the kinds of things that, you know, we you know, probably prioritize. There's some other areas where we may not spend quite as much as some of the other, entities that are compared to us per capita. And that's okay. It just goes to show you exactly what the councils have prioritized over the years and how we differ. Every town's a little bit different, but the things that I get really excited about, you know, is when we see how we maximize the revenue and then also do our best to try to keep our costs down as much as possible. You know, as far as sales tax per capita, you know, the recommended number that you want to bring in for a town our size is $446. We bring in about $593, which illustrates the fact that McCook is a hub for our area. And our ability to go ahead and keep our sales tax dollars and then also bring people in to shop in McCook, it's clear that that makes a big difference. And that's why we can do the projects that we do here in McCook. Other towns our size can't do what we do, or close to our size can't do what we do, because they don't have the sales tax base to support them. The one thing this year that I was really excited about, we actually more than doubled the grants and contributions amount than other towns that are compared to us. We've been really working hard to maximize our grant and contribution opportunities, you know, whether it's for the sports complex or the wastewater treatment plant or the water treatment plant. We search under every stone. You know, I know right now the fire department has a pumper grant that they've been dutifully filing every year, you know, and we do our best to try to make sure that we look for dollars that are outside of the local dollars. So that way we can have the kind of facilities and the equipment and the amenities that people here in McCook want. Case in point, we are doing a $1.3 million airport project, 95% of which, and that's the fueling, 95% of which is going to be paid for through federal aid that's administered by the state government. You know, we've raised $3 million towards the sports project. you know, the wastewater treatment plant and the water treatment plant. You know, water treatment plant's really exciting because we have an appropriation that we're waiting on in the amount of $3.2 million for media replacement. You know, we're just constantly busy trying to lift every single rock up to find money so that way we can go ahead and make McCook the best town it possibly can be. We maximize our state highway allocations. You know, when we get money, we spend it on projects. Municipal equalization dollars, you know, we do a good job. And that's one thing that's scary. The legislature right now is contemplating getting rid of that for cities of the first class, which would just be absolutely devastating. You know, I understand that there's a push to try to, you know, make up the $471 million budget shortfall. But some of the things that they're proposing would just be absolutely devastating to our communities. Or other entities, you know, whether it's the environmental trust that's constitutionally established or whatever the case may be. So there's got to be some long and hard thinking before we start raiding some of these funds. You know, and to me, I think it's a revenue issue, but that's just, that's my thought. As far as outstanding GO debt valuation, that's our general obligation debt. You know, we've gone up a little bit just because we've issued bonds for the sports complex and we're working through the stuff for the wastewater treatment plant. But we're still in the range that we're supposed to be in between good and excellent. And so that's great. You know, as far as making sure that we are keeping our reserves where we should, we would like to go ahead and increase our reserves a tad bit. I think we're sitting at around $3 million. We should be around $4 million. Every year we put about $75,000 aside to add to that. I've tossed around the idea of maybe upping that a little bit so that way we've got enough operating funds if something catastrophic were to happen. But it's hard to do just because we have so many demands. It's a hard balance to try to make between, you know, setting aside reserves for a future date and using it right now to operate the way that we need to operate. And so we'll continue to talk about that. And then, you know, our levy rate, it has gone up. A lot of that was driven by the Wage and Labor Act, making sure that we complied with the CIR regulations. But still, when you look at all the things that we do, you know, I think that our levy is very reasonable. It's right in line with other communities in our area. And we're going to continue to monitor that as we move forward. And then just going through everything else, I won't bore anybody. I know that's really a lot of numbers. But at the end of the day, you know, I think this is the 11th or 12th audit I've gone through. I think that every year there's something I learn that's new. But I guess what I would tell people is we really do a very, very good job of trying to manage the taxpayer dollars. We are very aware. I understand that people, you know, are trusting us to make sure that things with their taxpayer dollars. And we do our best to try to do that. So that way we've got a good community, but also it's not going to be one that's going to be overly burdensome. I always appreciate when Marcy comes. She does a great job, and she did a fantastic job again last night.
Moving on, recommendations of Parks Advisor Board to allow some individuals to plan for and paint a mural on the west interior wall of the McCook Aquatic Park.
Oh, yeah. This this is just gives me shivers. I love this group.
Uh-huh.
Tasha Blomstedt and Delight Moser came to speak on behalf of, I don't know what you would call their committee. They're just an awesome group of people who look at things. This group was responsible for the inclusive playground.
I think they call themselves the Moore Collective. Okay. So it's a group of moms.
Yeah.
Moms have really been rocking it as far as projects in McCook. We got to get the dads to we need a dads collective.
Yeah, we dads right, are looking pretty bad in this situation. But they've looked at the new aquatic center, which is really awesome, and they want to commission a mural to be painted between the bathroom entrances, because of course when you go to the aquatic center you have to take a shower, and that wall there is just begging for something. So these ladies took it upon themselves to say, okay, we're going to do this. That's what I love about them. They don't come to the city and say, hey, you need to do this. They say, we're going to do this. They just take the bull by the horns and they run with it. And not only the mural, but the part that made me just laugh was they also want to put a battery operated clock on the north side of the aquatic center, so the kids playing in the pool, Lazy River know what time it is. So when mom called, dropped him off and said, I'm going to be at 4 o'clock to pick you up. You know it's 3:55. You better have your butt out there on the street, right? Because there is no clock right now. You don't know what time it is. So anyway, these ladies came to the Parks Advisory Board, and they've moved it on to the council for recommendation that they move forward with this project. And it's kind of preliminary at this point. They've been working with the McCook Arts Council on – they had some designs, really pretty designs, very colorful, on the cost, and they're going to start some fundraising. And the one that really hurt – I mean, this hurt. The first event they're going to have, it's a women's event. It's going to be at the Keystone. They're still putting together the details, but it's going to involve chocolate. Now, they're not dissuading any men from attending, but they said, if you want to come, you can come. But this is kind of a woman's thing, and they're going to have chocolate, and we're being left out.
The city attorney Mustin was very offended by the fact that he wasn't allowed to go.
Yeah, he was in tears.
Eat their chocolate.
Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, kudos to these ladies. They just really give you an unbelievably good feeling about the people of McCook. That just say we can make our community better. We love our community, but we can make it better. And they just jump into it and go. So, yeah, the council said, sure, let's move forward with this lady. Just can't wait for you to tell us what you came up with because they're just rocking it.
Well, the guys might have to crash that chocolate party.
Yeah.
Well, maybe, possibly.
I don't know, though. I mean, that's a tough group. I mean, yeah, I don't know.
They're going to have bouncers.
Have bouncers, yeah, okay. Security guards.
Okay, maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
But she said that was just the first. They're going to have other fundraising events, whatever. And I have no doubt with these ladies, their group, they are so successful and so committed. God love them. I'm so glad they're there.
You got another ordinance dealing with some East A Street.
Yeah, we closed down a little portion of East A Street from East 9th to East 10th. It doesn't get used. Our understanding is maybe it's a speed way for certain people. Our trash trucks can get up and down that area without having to utilize that stretch of road. We had a concerned citizen that had stated, hey, you know, this could be a safety concern. It's gravel down there. And so I think people like to go and take their car down there and fishtail. And and so anyway, it is really kind of unnecessary. And I guess from our perspective, the way that it's set up down there, probably discouraging that kind of behavior makes a lot of sense. So the council approved the request to vacate it, and that was on the second reading under suspension of the rules. We didn't have anybody that had actually reached out to us to talk about that. So,
how about this next one? Approval to use of the McCook City Auditorium for pickleball use while the YMCA goes through their renovation. How about that?
Yeah, we had I can see their faces.
Christy Stevens and Kathy Kenny.
I can't remember my own name on certain days. Holy cow.
And Jeff Crick was there,
too. Yeah, Jeff was there. They came to us and asked if they could use the city auditorium while the YMCA is being being remodeled because the pickleballers just – they're having withdrawal symptoms from what I understand from Christy and her group that they have someplace to go. So – they're going to rent the city auditorium, and on Monday through Wednesdays from 8:30 in the morning to 11:30 in the morning, starting February 4th, probably maybe through April. Depends on the weather or whether they can get outside and the YMCA, but they're going to rent the city auditorium for those times and so they can go up and play their pickleball. And they, you know, invited the council members to join in, but yeah, I wouldn't embarrass myself. No. No, thank you.
Jared, that might be a hidden talent with you.
Oh, yeah.
You might get out there and just like, this is my sport.
Or it could be a train wreck. One of the two. But yeah, it's really nice that the community knows they can come to the city administration and say, hey, this is an opportunity we have. Can we use it? Well, sure, no problem.
Okay.
So they can play pickleball and keeps them off the streets, you know.
Yeah. But yeah. No gang banging. So the pickleballers, excuse me. They got a potato lay in my throat. The pickleballers, they're going to pay $50 a month to cover the cost of electricity and whatnot. And then also they're going to toss in some contributions and donations. And then also they're going to have insurance through the YMCA. That's always kind of my biggest concern is just the liability. But the YMCA was great about that. Jeff and Mitch did a fantastic job of making sure the city was protected. It's not going to interfere with any of our events that are already scheduled. It'll be second in priority, but hopefully the times that have been selected, it's not going to really create an issue because typically on the weekdays in the mornings, we don't have a lot of activities. And so it seems to, you know, really work well for both groups. And I guess the one thing I pointed out last night, when the city of McCook was building its swimming pool, the YMCA assisted the city of McCook, allowing for free swim and whatnot at their facility. And we want to make sure that we do the exact same thing for them at an affordable rate because, you know, while they're going through their project, you know, they've got obviously limitations, cash limitations. And so for us, we just want to be good community partners. We want to make sure, obviously, that we take care of any liability concerns. But aside from that, we really don't have any issues. Mm-hmm. And so we were very appreciative that they came to us and they asked us, and we were very willing to help. And I really thought that Christy and Kathy and Jeff, they did a good job of presenting what they wanted to do. And so we have nice days like this. They'll probably be outside. Like
yeah.
Christy said, if it's nice, they're going to play outside. That's what their preference is. But it's cold this time of the year at times, and so they definitely need to be able to have a place to play. And we're happy to help.
Council comments. Anything last night?
Councilman Whedon reminded us that our choice gas selection dates are coming up, starting April the 2nd through the 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the city of McCook participates with ACE. And towards that means, Gene said that at the last meeting they had, the ACE board has $400,000 to share up with all the member communities.
Mm-hmm.
And we have used ACE funds on several occasions for things around McCook. One that always comes to mind is we remodeled the bandshell up at Norris Park. And there's other uses that ACE funds come in handy, and I don't remember how many companies he said are are wanting your business, and we would just encourage folks to please look at and consider selecting ACE rewards because we do get the reward money back. It helps our community. I know the other companies have their deal, whatever, but City McCook is a member of the ACE program, and Gene just wanted us to remind him that it's coming up. You got a 3-week window during that time, and just please take a good hard look.
Mm-hmm. All right. And that pretty much wrapped up for the agenda.
Yep.
Next meeting will be on February the 16th.
Correct.
Planning Commission meeting next Monday.
Yes. Yep.
All right. Any Super Bowl picks? Who are you picking this Sunday?
I'll go Seattle.
Seattle? Mm-hmm. Okay. Big or by the closest of margins?
I mean, anymore, the NFL's, there's so much parity. I'll say it's close, but I think Seattle's defense is pretty good.
I thought Seattle by a field goal.
Yeah.
How about you?
I'm thinking New England.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Picking the other way.
They said that Drake May, I mean, he's feeling better now. So,
yeah.
Want a good game.
I just want a good game.
A good game.
Yeah, good game, good commercials.
Yeah. A
lot of good food.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's what's important.
That's who I am, too.
You bet. Thanks, guys. Pretty appreciate it. Nate, thank you very much.
Thanks, Rich.
City Manager Nate Schneider. Councilman Jerry Calvin, thanks as always, sir.
You're welcome.